All right, we're going to go back to Daniel today, Daniel chapter 5. If you have your phones, your iPads, your Bibles, Daniel chapter 5, we're going to look at just the first six verses, and then we will talk about what we have found in that chapter. Let's begin here with Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Verse 6, then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. I think it was kind of shook up there, wasn't it? Title of my message today is The Writing is on the Wall. The writing is on the wall. Once again, we're continuing to focus our attention on a basic truth that it seems more than ever before we are no longer living in a Christian nation. We do not live in a Christian nation that was rooted in biblical values anymore, but rather we live in a place called Babylon. Babylon was a real place in the Bible, but in the Bible it also became a symbol for a culture or a society that marches away from God and away from His way of living. Just about everything in our culture now is designed to pull us away from God. We have looked into the life of Daniel. We've looked into the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And today, once again, we want to look at Daniel's life. We've already discovered that Babylon is pressing us with clutter and complexity and a fast-paced life. And the only way to be a determined disciple then of Jesus is to prioritize intimacy with Him. Our priority must be our relationship with Jesus above all else. Can you say amen? Now, we don't want to belittle the Lord and have Him at the top of some list. But guess what? When we prioritize, that means He's the center of our lives. Everything else that happens in our lives is centered around Jesus Christ. We also discovered that a society that draws us away from God regularly, we must have then a mindset that we stand our ground with God. And be assured then that He is right because He is always faithful. Can you say amen? And we need then to be effective and faithful right where we are at, where God has put or placed us. And we must trust in Him and trust in His ways. How many know God's ways are perfect? Amen. So we find then in this story from chapter 5, a Babylonian king named Belshazzar, who is absolutely full of himself. He throws a party for himself and his closest 1,000 friends. And it's during this party that he decides to break out the best items in his treasury to use. And these items happen to be from the temple back in Jerusalem. These items were dedicated to the Lord God Almighty. And the king knows this. He knows that his father Nebuchadnezzar was the one that captured them and brought them back. And he knows where they are from, and he proceeds to profane them on purpose because he wanted to highlight himself. If he had a camera back then, imagine the types of selfies that he would have taken with wine and items from the temple and his closest 1,000 friends. Belshazzar wanted to be known as a great king, and he decided then that throwing lavish parties and showing off was the way then to accomplish that mission. Yet understand something with me this morning. God noticed. God always notices. And so we see supernaturally where God writes on the wall of the palace and everyone sees it. God joins the party and he does a little Pictionary action on the wall to get the king's attention. Does he get the king's attention? Well, when you read this chapter in full, you find that yes, he does. I love again how verse 6 of our text says, his knees knocked together. The king is visibly shaken and he calls in all of his wise men to interpret what has been written on the wall. And we see they could not decode it. And that makes him even more upset and even more unhinged. He thought he could figure out the message on his own and with his own resources, but he could not. Then his queen, who is a bit wiser than he, and she remembers then about a guy named Daniel who interpreted dreams for the last king. Daniel was a big deal for his father, Nebuchadnezzar. And so in verse 13, Daniel is brought in and he reminds the king about things that he already knows. Allow me to paraphrase this. He boldly reminds the king that the party that he was having and using the items from the Jewish temple was very much as if he was slapping God Almighty in the face, and yes, he would pay for it. That's virtually what he told him. And I want us to understand Belshazzar knew what he was doing and he did it anyway. Yeah. Verses 21 and 22 of chapter 5, the king's father was disciplined by God until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and he sets over it whom he will. And then verse 22, it says, and you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. Belshazzar decided then to follow his culture and go his own way from God and harden his heart, and yes, he would pay for it. There is no humbleness before God in this king. There's only a hard heart and a desire to go his own way. He's absolutely full of himself. The writing on the wall literally is a warning from Jehovah God to a king, Belshazzar. Daniel told the king the message was from God, and it was a message that would be carried out that very night. And here is what verse 25 tells us. And this is the writing that was written, many, many tickle Upharsin. It means God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And now your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And we see where King Belshazzar dies that very night. History tells us that Babylon was taken without battle, and all indication was the Persians marched in with little effort and took over because the Babylonians were in full party mode and no one was paying attention. So then from Daniel 5, let me ask, how does this relate to us? How does this relate to our culture? I happen to think that Belshazzar was a prime example then of Babylonian culture and illustrates our own culture as well. If literal Babylon were around today, you've got to know the internet would absolutely be used in the same way our culture is wrapped around the internet today. The internet and all of our devices inform us and connect us, but guess what? They also distract us and entertain us. Whatever comes across the screens of our phones and tablets has attention for hours on end and become then our filter for our lives and forms our worldview, whether we realize it or not. Now Disney defines what a family does or does not like, look like. Facebook, which is fake most of the time, tells us how our lives are going to be compared to others. Mimes that aren't even true inform our beliefs about politics. YouTube videos provide a grid by which we test what is real. Media and news outlets then report what they call news and attempt to make us believe what is true and what is false. And sadly, many just accept it as fact. And then we Google the answers to deep questions about life and assume what we are given is correct. Our screens demand our attention and mold how we view the world and make us focus. We've heard that word this morning. Make us focus only on ourselves and focus on distraction and entertainment. Belshazzar was absolutely distracted, and he was dedicated to entertainment, and so much that not only did he willfully and knowingly misuse God's items from the temple, but he lost his whole kingdom, we see in one night. We also live in a culture that rejects moral and religious underpinnings of life and leads many then to find answers in their own selves. Everything is about us and everything is customized to us. Even the advertisements, Liberty Mutual Insurance says through their advertising, you can customize car insurance so you only pay what you need. We have fitness gyms called YouFit. And now that selfies exist, Instagram exists, promote self. Phrases like you do you and love who you want are seen then as good and correct and wise. Burger King has promoted it for years when it says have it your way. You've got to understand that's no just little phrase. It got your attention for years. So we see our view of self is at the center now, and individuality is praised above all else. There is a me-sized world out there, and there is a me-first set of expectations for much of life. Belshazzar absolutely shows this then in his actions. He was completely focused on himself and he rejected the lessons that his father had learned and the truth that his father already knew. And yes, this Babylonian culture thinking has invaded the church, especially when it comes to being distracted and making trustworthy and consistent commitments. You see, commitments are different in Babylon where we live. Commitments are based on this. If it fits into my schedule and doesn't inconvenience me. Christians, even those who are committed, are busier than ever. I read this week, watch this, where the current national statistic is once a month in a worship service is consistent attendance. How sad is that? one time a month. And now it's not uncommon for people to attend different groups at different churches. And for there to be loyalty and commitment is one church is right at non-existent. It is not uncommon for people not to show up even when they say they will be there and are scheduled. Many then are just Christian consumers who want to go to church to be fed and entertained, but don't be asked to serve or especially to give of your money. A youth group used to serve as a main social outlet for teens, but now is replaced by sports and social media. The number of hours of personally connecting and fellowshipping and studying the Bible for discipleship, we know, has dropped considerably. Why? Because of distractions and other priorities and an attitude shift. So yes, Babylon has invaded the church. This Babylonian culture thinking has invaded the church when it comes to individuality and me-sized focus. There are many people who think that solo discipleship is a real and possible thing, which is why many skip out on Bible study groups or corporate worship or corporate times of prayer. Well, Pastor, we just don't need that kind of stuff. We can do it ourselves, or we can watch a video. It's all the same, Pastor. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But it is what we think. Because of our culture. Listen, if you can do it all on your own, it is not Christianity. And if you can do it all on your own, it is not church. Jesus never intended for us to go it alone. Can you say amen? We need each other. I need you. We need to assemble together as often as we can. Listen, your testimony, just what we heard today from Sister Diane, can set us free. It can set us free. Knowing that if God will do it for her, He'll do it for me. Yet there are those who stay wandering around for a lifetime, going from church to church, or not at all, because they do not want to be held accountable. They don't want to give of their finances. They're afraid they're going to be asked. And they can't take instruction or correction or teaching of any kind. And it shows then through their lives and the lives of their children. And it's all about self, me and no more. So from Daniel chapter 5, we see how this culture of Babylon is reflected then in our own culture, and even how this culture has infiltrated and impacted the church. So how then are we to respond in such a thing? You and I, watch this, you and I should have in us such a desire and such a determination to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, that we are able to then to navigate our culture and maintain a healthy relationship with God Almighty, no matter what comes our way. Can you say amen this morning? We should want to receive teaching. We should want to receive correction, so in return be able to teach our own children and our grandchildren the very same truths. Our culture really is a virus that infects every part of our lives and wants to distract us and draw us away from being dependent upon God to a life of independence. I hope you see that one true Christian identity is rarely engaged church is not enough to remain faithful. Let me say that again. I hope you see that one's true Christian identity in a rarely engaged church is not enough to remain faithful. Distractions are strong. The pull of self is natural. Entertainment and the influence of tech screens are very powerful. And the writing on the wall for us this morning is that it tells us that you and I must understand that what our culture offers is not lasting, Brandon. It won't last. What the culture offers will not last. The culture of the United States of America that is drifting more and more quickly away from Christian values does not produce a soul surrendered to Jesus Christ. Our Christian faith and our commitment to the church and our time spent in the Bible has been weighed and is found wanting. When we find then our commitment and loyalty to Christ divided, guess what? We can't help but fail when it comes to that. And we may stand brighter than ever, if you please, but it's only as a target on the enemy's radar screen. It's all writing on the wall. So what do we do in a case like this? First, we need to acknowledge and realize that this war and this tug on our souls is very real. Can you say it is real? And it impacts us personally. We do not need to be distracted any more than what's happening. This virus of our culture is real, and it's drawing many. It's drawing our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and our sisters in Christ in significant ways away then from a vibrant, life-giving relationship with the Lord Jesus. It is not fake news that we no longer live in a Christian society, and our society actually works against our faith. This is truth, and we got to face it. We got to be actively aware and not be distracted. Here's what the Apostle Paul then encourages us to do. This is from Colossians chapter 3. And verse 2, set your minds, King James says affections, on things that are above, would you say above, and not on things that are on the earth. And then the Apostle Peter comes along and he encourages us then from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as pilgrims and strangers to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against the soul. So we see we do not need to be distracted and we need to be actively aware. Be aware of the things around you going on. So to sum this up today, we need to make sure that we are living our lives for the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ and not for ourselves and not for the people around us. You do not need other people's approval. We must live our lives, mold our values, view our world, and pattern our families not after self, not after the world, or other people's families, or what we see on a screen, but rather pattern ourselves after what God has designed for our lives. We should live to please Him. We should live for God's approval. Sadly, the enemy lies to us, and so many people believe those lies. A resilient disciple of Christ has a focus on being the servant of Jesus Christ and allowing then the demands of self and our own heart and our culture to just pass us by. Now here's Paul's words from Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please a man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So we see that we need to live and make decisions and spend our time for God's approval. You do not need other people's approval. Finally, and certainly not least, we must invest ourselves in our own church family, our own church community. And that's part of being a servant of Christ. Church is not just a Sunday only thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Studying the Bible is not 5 minutes a day with a cute story attached to it. Worship is not only three songs on a Sunday. Prayer is not just something before meals or when we are in trouble or before we buy a lotto ticket or a scratch-off. Pastor, you're meddling now. Let's leave today with a renewed determination to make sure our relationship with the Lord is stronger than ever. Determined that we will watch and pray and not be tricked by the enemy's devices. Let me end with these two verses today. Ooh, I'm doing good. Two verses of Scripture. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way. That means your journey, your course of life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And look what He says He'll do. He shall bring it to pass. Doesn't say it might come to pass. What does it say? He shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit. Here we go again. The word commit. Commit thy works. That means your labor, your deeds unto the Lord. And thy thoughts shall be established. Those are two very awesome verses of Scripture. Commit your way and your works unto the Lord is what it says. Do you know what one of the meanings for the word commit in these two verses is? I came across this. I had to add it. Watch this. Don't laugh now. The word commit, it means roll together. Roll together. Roll together with the Lord concerning your ways and your works. Look at somebody and say, just roll together. Roll together with the Lord. And guess what? He says He'll see to it. Your way, your journey will come to pass. Why? Because you've included the Lord. You've included the Lord and you're now trusting in Him.
Amen.
I don't think there's ever been a time in my life that I'm having to trust Him, Brandon, in a time of transition. Something changes from one day to the next. And so we look at each other and shake our heads. But we know we got to trust Him.
Amen.
What's He telling us today? Just roll together with me. Just roll together with us, Brandon and Amber. Just roll together with me. When you're rolling together with Him in your works, your thoughts will be established. That's a sound mind, y'all. That's all that means, a sound mind. You know that you know that you know that you know. Let's not be found wanting then by the Lord, but let's determine to carry out His will and carry out His purpose for our lives. And when we do, we can't help but be victorious in our lives. And this culture that we are now living in will not affect us.
Amen.
It will not affect us. Let's all stand together. Tell your neighbor, let's roll with the Lord. Roll with the Lord. All right. Let that be just inscribed on your brain this week. We're going to roll together. Just tell the Lord, I'm going to roll together with you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your awesome presence in the house today. It has been a high voltage area today. So I thank you for what you've already done today. And I thank you, Lord, and I just ask God that this word would penetrate our hearts. Speak to us this week as we commit our way even more aggressive towards you. And I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is healing to our bones. And I praise you today, and I give you all the glory. I speak blessings over your people as we go from this house today. Bring us back to that appointed time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. Yes, ma'am.